VIP Conduit presents Getting to Know You for August 2022. Our guest this month is Wesley Burden from New Jersey. To help us delve into this interesting story, here is our host, Susie B. from Tennessee.
Welcome to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight our guest is Wesley Burden from, I think, New Jersey. Welcome, Wesley.
Thanks. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for everybody coming.
Wesley, we're going to start out with our very basic questions. First being, where were you born?
I was born in Woodbury, New Jersey, which is about 30 minutes from my house.
So have you always lived in New Jersey?
Yep, born and raised. Matter of fact, in the same area where I'm at now, which is good.
Okay. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a younger sister. And then I have some aunts and uncles. But because I was adopted as the eighth child into my grandmother's side of the family, we evened it out. It was four boys and four girls, where before it was just four girls and three boys.
Okay. What's the cause of your vision loss?
It's rubella, which is a form of German measles. Back then, they didn't have a cure for it. Now they'll just give you a shot for it. I was coming through the birth channel, and I was just about out when the rubella zapped my eyes and got me.
Oh, gosh. So, how much vision do you have?
I have, they consider it legally blind. I can see shadows, lights, objects, tell if the sun's out, if the snow's outside. I can still ride my ATV, kayak, still do all the outdoor stuff that I like to do.
Okay, has your vision decreased through the years, or do you still pretty much have the same amount?
The same. It's not going to change.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, did you grow up in the city or in the country?
I grew up in the country. We lived on a big farm, had a lot of acres, a lot of animals, and a lot of big farm equipment, and raised our own cattle and vegetables and fruits.
Were you involved in helping out on the farm, or were you restricted?
No, I was. I used to go out every morning, make sure the animals had their food in their bowls and their pails and stuff. I'd run the four-wheeler around to the barns and the buildings to make sure all the animals were taken care of.
Okay, so you were always kind of privy to a four-wheeler then.
Yep, I sure am.
Okay. When it came time to go to school, I guess you went to public school?
That's correct. Started in pre-K, went right on up through 12th grade.
Okay, were you able to use large print books, or did you need Braille? Well, I guess the time frame that you went in, a lot of things were recorded. Did you use a computer in school?
Yep. I used an Apple IIe, and I used Dr. Pete's Talking Writer. I had a combination of sources for books. I had audio textbooks from Learning Alley now, which is Recording for the Blind Dyslexic. I had some Braille books, textbooks, and then I used my CCTV a little bit, so I just had a wide combination and had many tools that I could use at my discretion.
Okay, did you have a resource teacher there, or a resource teacher that came in to help make the accommodations for you?
I had a TVI, which is a teacher for the visually impaired, come in from the Commission for the Blind in New Jersey, and I did have a resource room that I went to because some of the stuff I couldn't carry around, like my closed circuit television and all that stuff. So yeah, I did have a resource room I could use.
You'd almost need an ATV if you had to haul all that stuff around, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine going down the hall with that.
Okay. When you were in school, did you have any particular subjects that you really enjoyed?
Yep. My favorite subjects were shop, wood shop, metal shop, all that stuff. And I did cooking. Cooking was actually really my favorite class, home economics. They have we had this class called cooking, basic cooking one and then basic cooking two or whatever it was called. But it was cooking one and two, housing the electives. And it was good. I learned a lot of things and it actually benefited me too, really a lot. But and then I marched in the band. I did the, I marched when I had, I was either the first bass drum, then I was the second snare, second bass drum. I marched for 6 years. I started when I was in sixth grade, well, the end of fifth grade. I brought our school to Atlantic Coast Champions 2 years in a row and had a lot of achievement.
Okay, so you started band in fifth grade. Did you do this all the way through high school?
Yep, sure did. I was really into it too.
Okay, and you mentioned this was, I think you played in the marching band, and did you also play in a concert or other types of bands?
Yep, I played bass for jazz band. I played a concert band and marching band. And then I even did the pep band for the pep rallies at the high school that I went to.
Okay, tell me about marching. That's always intrigued me. You did say, though, that you were legally blind, and I realized that that gives you quite a bit of vision. But when you did the, with marching bands, you have these big routines that you do out on the field. How did you handle that?
Yeah, well, when you're in a marching band, they do what's called a field show. You have pit instruments in the front, like the vibraphones, xylophones, all the electronics, right? Your keyboards, your guitars, your bass. Some people have real full big drum sets up there. But I did some of that work, too. So it was a combination. I did pit work, and I did I marched, too, because the how you do that is they... Because I was the second snare, so I was either I was in between the first and the third snare, and then I just kept watching the movements of the bass drummer, bass drum one, and the quad drummer that has the four drums that sits in front of you on your chest. So I just watched him, because you gotta be really into it and you gotta know your step, because one slip, man, you could get whacked with a rifle or a baton from the color guard.
So did you all maybe enter into any big competition that stands out in your mind?
Yep. We got to play at Giant Stadium for the CMBC show, which is the Cadet Marching Bands Association for the Northeast. And we got second place there. And we got first place in the drum line. Because what they do is they have different categories. So drums and percussion is one category. Guards one. Your woodwinds, your horns. They have it all broken down. And these judges, they're like real critical, man. They're actually out in your face when you're on the field marching, when they're doing their assessments, when you're doing your event. And they're talking.
Okay. When you got out of school, before you got out of school, did you have any plans or ideas of what you wanted to do when you grew up?
Well, I wanted to go back to full-time farming on the family farm, but that fell apart because my grandfather was failing health-wise, and that equipment, it was really expensive. I mean, it was millions of dollars worth of equipment, and people think, you know, on a farm you got all this money, but when you put out money for all the machinery and stuff and maintain it and stuff, we had all brand new equipment, but it was still, it's a lot of work. So we sold the farm. Then I moved from the country. Then I moved into like a city, and that was hard to swallow that one because I'm used to the country.
Okay. Well, after you graduated, did you go to a vocational school for any training, like, independent living skills, mobility, computer, any of that stuff?
Yes, I did. I went to the JKTC, which is the Joseph Cone Training Center here in New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is up where Bat's at. Well, not far from where he lives, but it's up that way. I did independent living for what was a whole assessment for 16 weeks to see if I could live on my own, which I know I could. And then I did some computer classes and stuff like that. I just basically wanted to go there to get assessed to see if I could live on my own and just get the tools that I needed, because the commission, sad to say, they weren't willing to put out the money. They didn't think that what I wanted to do was worth their while, and we just parted our ways.
After you finished there, you moved to the city, right?
Yep. I was involved with Habitat for Humanity of Salem County, which is where I live. I live in Woodstown, New Jersey. It's like a suburb. It's kind of like out in the woods. I live in what's called a historic district in my neighborhood, and anything that gets done around here has to be approved by the Township Historic Commission, because the houses are very historic. So whether it be roofs, windows, doors, we got to make sure they all comply with the district codes, because they get money from the state to do all that stuff.
Right. So you mentioned Habitat for Humanity. So were you involved in that and helping build houses?
Yep. Did it for 20 years. I served on the board of directors for 10 of those years. I worked at our ReStore we have, where we sell stuff. Did that for many years. I did framing, insulation, siding. My favorite ones, insulating and hanging drywall, and I did roofing. And I still have all that stuff, the tools.
I know that one of your big hobbies is your, I think it's called ATV, vehicle. Is that right? What are some of the things that you do with that?
Well, there's a lot you can do. It just depends. I know on the farm we had ATVs that had all the hookups. We have ATVs that can take trees out. You can bush hog with them. You buy the right attachments, you can do all kind of yard work with them. You get mower decks, snow plows, rakes. The list goes on what you can do with them. And mine was like, it was a small one, but we had big ones on the farm too. We had four-wheel drive ones, and they were like 700, 800, 900cc, something maybe even bigger than that too. And they were four-wheel drive and all that fun stuff. But it was pretty cool. Liked it.
Well, don't you go to some rallies or on some trips where you're driving this area on your ATV?
Yeah, we do. Before COVID, I went down to West Virginia. I'd go to the Hatfield-McCoy Trails. Either go the end of September or the first week of October. They have a thing which is called Trail Fest. They have a lot of the manufacturers down there, the vehicle manufacturers. You can buy stuff down there. There's all kinds of things you can do. Fireworks, they got concerts, there's riding the trails. I mean, you can do, there's just so much stuff. And they actually even have it set up now. If people that are visually impaired want to go down there, they actually waive the fee to get on the trails. They have a group that'll take anybody that has a disability, whether it be visual or whoever, whatever type of disability, they'll take them out on the trails and either take them out for a half day or a full day, depending on what they want to do.
Okay. So when you're down there for that, do you camp out or stay in a lodge? Or I'm gathering that this is not a one-day trip. This is like a few days.
Well, for us, sometimes it's 2 weeks, the latest. And some people have to go home earlier, which is fine. But a lot of us, we stay down for the 2 weeks. But some people can only go down for like a weekend or a couple of days. So they'll leave on a Thursday, take off Friday, and then take off Monday, and then come back Monday night. Because it's a long drive, especially when you're pulling a huge trailer with vehicles on it. It can get pretty tricky getting out of West Virginia on those roads that are, we call them crooked roads.
Well, they are crooked roads. but do you camp out, or do you stay at a lodge or a cabin, or this is just something I want to know?
Well, what we have to do is you have to plan a year in advance to go down there. So they're going to have Trail Fest in October this year. Right after Trail Fest, you need to book your rooms for next year if you're going. because they pack out real quick. Some people bring in their RVs, and they have these big, huge, like, race car haulers. They put race cars in, and they bring their vehicles down. It's like a big deal. We have a cottage that we stay in. A friend of ours has one, and then his brother's a tour guide down there, so we usually go out with him. And what we do is we split the difference of everything, the food, the fuel, and everything. We make it even for everybody.
Can you think of any, well, it would feel like a major hurdle before you were age 25? Just one thing that happened that was just, you felt like it was just something that you probably just weren't going to be able to manage, but you did.
Well, when I was 8 years old, we did an experiment. They tried to do a cornea transplant on my right eye to see if it would take. We weren't guaranteed anything. It was just an experiment. We wanted to know what was back there as far as the damage was concerned. So we tried it. Everything seemed to be doing okay. And then, like, 2 days before I came home, it was it just rejected. It was Christmas week. I was in the hospital, so it wasn't a really nice Christmas in my house that week as I was in the hospital.
Right. When, we're going to skip on a bit. When did you get acquainted with chat sites?
I got a little involved with chat sites when Four the People was around. I poked around in there a little bit, and I really got involved with Out of Sight. I remember being in Rod's event, the donut shop. We used to be in there every night till the Roosters came out. We get in there like 11 o'clock, and we'd be in there maybe sometimes till the sun comes up for some of us.
That was quite a group, wasn't it?
Yes, it really was. And what's great about these sites, especially for someone that lives on their own, like myself, it lets you know that there's always a place where you can go and hang out, whether if nobody's around to talk to. You always have a room that you can go to online, and someone will always be in there, and they'll greet you with a friendly welcome.
Okay, what kind of hobbies, other than what we've already talked about, what are some other hobbies that you have?
Well, like I said, you know, I help build houses. I love to do drywall. It's fun. I love to do anything with my hands, like framing, roofing, trim work, all that stuff, because a lot of it's hands-on. And it's really, because you have to use your hands too with math and figure all the numbers, whether the things have to, you, when you're cutting stuff out, the angles and stuff like that, you have to use for trim, which is called a compound miter saw. And they're very expensive. They can be like $1,400 to $2,000, and you can use them to cut the angles. So when you hang up the trim, whether it be cove molding or crown molding, or it just, or even just the stuff that hangs in the ceilings too, I forget what the other one's called. Crown molding, that's right, it's crown molding, the other one, for the ceilings.
Okay. One thing I forgot to ask you about, I think you enjoy concerts. Can you think of maybe a couple of concerts that you really enjoyed?
Yep, I'm more like of a classic rock person, like Jethro Tull and stuff like that. I've been to a lot of concerts in my life. I've actually helped set up and tear down. That was part of the deal. My friend, he had a real large company, did a lot of the arenas and the stadiums. So the deal was I get in for free. And some of those tickets, they could get pricey depending on where you sit. And then in return, I had to help break all that stuff down. So after everybody's leaving, we're breaking all that stuff down, and the floor crews come in, take the stage down, and they set up for another event, whether it be ice hockey or who knows what they're putting in there. Because it's just a multi-purpose arena. So it was fun. Been all over the place. Loved it.
Do you enjoy reading books?
Yeah, I do. What I really like about reading now is the fact that we have these Lady A devices, well, smart speakers. And let's just say if there's a new book that's coming out tomorrow and we want it, we can get it as the blind community the same day everybody else gets it. We don't have to wait for it to get on BARD.
So you read it on your Lady A?
That's correct. I read Kindle and Audible on Lady A.
Do you use Bard at all?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I use Bard on my phone a lot. I love it.
That was my next question. If you used it on your phone or if you used Victor Reader or the library player.
Well, I do have a Stream second generation, and I also have a NLS advanced digital talking book player, so I have those two, and it's a wide combination of them. But I just like the fact that we can listen to a book. Some of them are just really good.
Yes, absolutely. It sure beats the days when you had to wait for that little, well, I always thought they were green boxes. I don't know what color they were, but those little boxes to show up with one book in it.
Yeah, I agree. I used to look forward to seeing them all the time, and some of them had 6 book tapes in them, and, you know, but now we don't have to. The technology, the digital age has changed. We can download the stuff now, which is great.
When did you join VIP?
It's been many years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I think, somewhere around there. I really like it over here. It's like a family. When I had open heart surgery 2 years ago and literally almost died, you know, this is more than just a site and a room where people go and hang out, man. I mean, you got people like Terry Borden. He just, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. He'll find you, man, wherever you are. So if you're in the hospital somewhere, he's going to hunt you down. So he called me up one day. I'll never forget this. I said, hello, who is this? And I'm all grogged up with dope. And, you know, I'm just coming out of the surgery and stuff. 2 days later, he says, it's Terry. I was like, Terry who? I don't know no Terry. And he's like, VIP. I was like, VIP, what is that? So then eventually I came around. I was like, oh, it's you, Terry. And he patched me into the room, and I got to talk to everybody, and that was really special. That I had my friends that I talked to all the time, and they came to visit me in my time of need virtually, and that was special. I'll never forget that.
Well, he actually told it that he thought you were in jail, but he was really relieved when he found you in the hospital. It made such a better story.
Yeah, that's what he thought. I forgot the time I was in there, and then he calls me. He's looking, and I was like, Terry who? He's like, Terry from VIP Conduit. I said, what is VIP Conduit? Never heard of this stuff.
Okay, well, I've just about asked all the questions that I had written down. Do you have anything you would like to add before this crowd gets to ask you questions?
Sure. I encourage anybody, doesn't matter what you're going through, we're all here as a family. You're never alone. Reach for the stars. You know, everybody has a different walk of life and path that they have to take to how to get to where they need to go. But I would encourage anybody, and just for those of us that know the Lord, just keep him on the, stay on the straight and narrow with the Lord, and things will really go well. Just keep the Lord and Jesus Christ at the center of your life, and they say it's going to be easy, but at least you'll be at peace.
Okay, gang, I'm going to give you a chance to ask Wesley questions that I didn't ask. Actually, this morning, I went into a room and suggested people send me emails with questions to ask, and I didn't get any. But I'm in hopes that you decided to ask them yourself. Now, one thing, Wesley, if they ask you something you don't really want to answer, just say, let's move on, and that's what we'll do. If you're keyed up to ask a question and somebody else starts talking before you get the key, let go of the key so Wesley can answer, because if you don't let go of the key, you're going to be talking and he's not ever going to be able to catch up. So I think we're going to have plenty of time for everyone to ask questions. So now, gang, it's your time.
Okay, Wesley, you've been waiting for this. I'll take it easy on you, sort of. How many times have you been married, and how many children do you have?
No kids. I'm 47 and still single to this day.
Wesley, I want to thank you for the room that you heard each day, and appreciate you taking time to do that. Thank you.
Really enjoy every time you come in. Franklin, it makes my day when I see Franklin. You coming in there, man. It really does. You need to know that.
Hi, Wesley. It's Judy. And I was wondering if you play any instruments now? And if so, which ones? Are you in, like, any church groups? And if you do play, come to center stage and play for us.
I still play. I don't play with a church group. Maybe you're going to get back to it eventually. But before COVID hit, I used to play with a bluegrass group. It was like a 20-piece group. They were really good. I have still my instruments. I got a digital piano, a full-size keyboard. It's one of the ones you plug into a computer and all that crazy stuff. I still have my bass guitar. I still have my full drum set and all that stuff. So I still rock out every now and then when I want to.
So, Wesley, I've known you for several years between the chat sites and phone chats, chat lines and stuff. And I was going to ask you how old you are because I never asked in all these years. But I'll tell you, just in the last few minutes, I probably learned more about you than I did knowing you, you know, in all our conversations on sites, and because you're kind of quiet. Susie brought it out of you. But I used to see Wesley do something on Facebook that I wondered if he'd share. So I want to tell people about the Brotherhood of Cats. I think he's very imaginative, or is a secret society.
Yeah, I'll talk about the cats. The International Brotherhood of Local Cats, it's a society of cats. I have a friend of mine that has a very large tract of land that she lives on. It's got a forest. It's got woods. It's kind of like Longwood Gardens in Kennett Square. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it's kind of like that. And it's a really posh place. They got water fountains and all this stuff. So I tell stories, and they're stories from a cat's perspective. So everything that gets told about these stories, they're designed to be humorous. They're funny. And as Charlie says, they get a lot of hits. Like, people really think it's just, like, funny stuff. I get text messages about this stuff. We have cats that live outside in the greenhouses. We'll keep them inside in the winter. And they have tree climbing trees and all that stuff in there. And then they'll come out. And then I had a Maine Coon cat. He passed away. He was 18 years old. His name was Whiskers. And then Fatty, he was 20 years old, and he just passed away this past Memorial Day weekend. And now we have Lucy. She's like 2. And then we have the outside cats. We're involved with a program. It's called TNR. It's all over the country. It's Trap, Neuter, and Release. And what the shelters will do is they'll notify us if they're getting ready to put down some cats to see if we can take them. And usually we do. We'll say, yeah, just bring them out and put them in one of the greenhouses. I mean, they're not sociable cats. Sometimes they are. It just depends. But most of the time, they're just cats. They just want to do their thing, go up in the climbing trees and hang out. But no, the cat stories, they're really funny. And there's going to be more of them coming up. So I encourage anybody that's friends with me on Facebook to check them out. And if you're not friends with me, you're welcome to add me. Believe me, the stories won't disappoint.
They are funny. I said you should publish them.
Well, can you tell us part of a story here, or are they too long?
No, I can tell you a story. So, we have this deal where every night, Fatty used to be the president, and Lucy was the vice president, and we have this wood pile that's across the street from my friend's house, because she has her own private road that goes back to their property. It's like a secluded road. So, the cats meet up on, and they actually do. They'll actually sit up on top of the wood pile with the tarp over it. They'll sit there and we'll bring out like snacks for them, like treats, and sometimes they'll eat, bring out their cat food, like the dry food, and then we'll leave the wet cat food we'll leave on the porch, and then they'll come out, and then it's just like a real meeting. Like, they have a business meeting. They, you know how people make motions and seconds, and it's the whole thing, man. Like, I tell everybody, Fatty makes motions to do things, and Lucy will second it, or Black Cat will second it, or Yellow Cat, Red Cat, or Orange Cat. And sometimes the cats have names. The stories are just, like, really funny. We're getting ready to put a video up very soon. We're going to go out there, and we're going to try to cotter up our rascals and get them on camera. We don't know how that's going to work, but we're going to attempt to do that.
I'll have to tell my wife about that because she's a big cat lover. That's great. Just to change the subject a little bit, back to ATV. When you went on your trails and stuff, did you ever have any real dangerous situations?
The first year I went, my battery died. We couldn't get it started. And we thought everything was fine. Everything was fine when we left. So we get down, everything's good. Because we try to check them before we leave it, head out. And sometimes you get out on them trails, you don't know where, you know. We go up in this mountain. It's called Horsepen Mountain. It's in West Virginia. So we get up in there, and the thing decides it was going to die. So, and come to find out, the things were corroded, the battery terminals. We had to figure how we were going to get that done. So my friend had to go home and get some straps because we thought we had extra tow straps with us to hook it. There was bears out there. I mean, just all kind of animals. You don't know what you're going to run into out there because it was my first year. So I stayed with the vehicle because he was like, do you want to stay with it? I said, yeah. He said, because you'll be fine. Nobody's going to mess with it. We know everybody around here. And we're going to put the word out that, you know, it's out here. And we're coming and we're going to come get it. So I stayed with it. And apparently he gets down off the mountain. He gets back to the cottage, to the shop of his house. And before he gets back up, another guy pulls up, and his son and a couple of their kids. And guy said, hey, I got straps and chains. I'll hook you right up, man. So he got us off the mountain, and he took it over to the dealer. And thank God they were able to get it fixed. It was just corroded battery terminals. They took them out, replaced them, slapped a new battery in there, and we were back on the trail in probably like 2 hours because it was good. I was really like, oh, man, I came all the way down here, and this happened. They were like, oh, don't worry about it, man. We'll get you fixed up, man. It's no big deal. The technician was like, we do this all the time. Don't worry about it.
I was wondering, have you taken your jet ski out this summer?
No, it's actually not my jet ski. It's a friend's. I had one. We got rid of it because it was just too much to upkeep it. I may get one down the road, but I like more of the kayak and stuff. And it's kind of hard now because you have to trail the thing down to where we have to go, and a lot of people are working and busy now, so at least I can do the kayaking, and at least I can do that myself. I don't have to worry about getting hauled down there on a trail or anything. So now I got rid of it. I was sad to do it, but it was actually the best thing I could have done.
Hi, Wesley. It's Judy again. I was wondering if you could touch a little bit on your association with NASCAR and being on the infield and what that was like traveling with NASCAR. People?
Oh, man, that was a neat experience, man. I'll never forget that. My cousin, Cale Yarborough, he's retired now, but he was a big race car driver, and now, Terry, I have to confess my bad sins. I was one of those people that went up to those fences at Watkins Glen and snapped that wood off there and threw it into the bonfire. I was one of them that did it, so yeah, I was a bad boy. I know you were waiting to roast me, so I think confession's good for the soul. No, it was a good experience. A lot of the people, even in the infield, man, when we would pull in with our RVs or Winnebagos or haulers and stuff like that, it was just really neat just to talk to people there. It was more like a social event for me, and because I know, like, some blind people don't get out that much, and I would encourage anybody, if you got a chance to get to a NASCAR race, if you let them know in advance, I'm sure they can make accommodations for you to get to the, they can put you somewhere where you can hear everything. They got track radios you can rent. I mean, I still have my track radio. Matter of fact, I just replaced it, or I'm going to replace it. And it's just a great feeling, man, just to be down into the garage area and hang out with some of the people. I met a lot of them, like Rusty Wallace. I know the Allisons, Dale Earnhardt, and just a lot of them. And it was just a great thing. And sometimes when you travel around like that, man, you don't have a life, man. You're just chilling in the RV and the hauler.
Wesley, you say you're in the same area that you grew up in, and you were part of a fairly large family of boys and girls. Are many of your family near you now? Do you still keep in touch with them?
No, that's actually kind of sad. Like, ever since my grandparents passed away, the families fell apart. I don't get invited to their houses for Christmas dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, Easter dinners. I only get a $2 card for my birthday or a $2 card for Christmas. Nor do I get not even a text message or a phone call. Maybe once in a blue moon that'll happen, but no, they really don't interact with me that much anymore.
So something else I had thought of earlier and I forgot to ask you. So living in that area, how is it as far as transportation and independence, you know, just like doing grocery shopping and things like that?
I mean, it's pretty scarce, but for me, I know everybody in the area. I know people in the neighborhood. And if I didn't have my, like, support network here, I would probably have to move to, like, a city or somewhere that had, like, more transportation. But where I live now, I have people I can call at the drop of a dime. They're here. I pay a personal assistant. She comes in throughout the week and makes sure everything's done correctly. And most of the stuff I do on my own, but we just have to make sure there's things that I just can't do. And we just make sure it's done right and everything's in order. But most of the stuff, I'm pretty independent. My church is really good to me. They go over and above. It's the family church that I was born in. I was born and raised in, so they're really good to me.
Have you ever done small wood projects, like furniture or other things like that, that would be like small wood projects?
The smallest project I ever done, Mara, was a cutting board. And that was the smallest. I've done some chair work, done a little bit of caning, stuff. I'm thinking about getting back into, like, the woodworking again, like with the planing and, you know, all that stuff and joining wood and all that stuff. Woodworking, it's really like an art, and I really enjoy doing it.
Would you have a place that you could set up a workshop?
Yeah, we're talking about that now. Possibly we might. We're not sure yet, but I want to consider to do that. And I'm thinking also about doing some, like, Braille transcribing, because Braille transcribing, there's such a need for Braille. I mean, audio is great, but there's nothing like Braille. I encourage everybody to learn Braille. There's just nothing like reading a book like everybody else does versus listening to it. I mean, I do both, but I'm very partial to Braille. I encourage everybody to learn Braille.
Did you learn Braille as a young child?
I did. I actually learned. I had an incident that happened that caused me to learn Braille, and that was kind of frightening. I was out on my farm one day, and I'm like a jokester, and I like to play around with stuff, but this day, this wasn't playing around. So I went to school. Everything was fine. Went outside to play on the playground. My eyes started getting purple. I was like, oh, okay. It's just maybe it's a purple day outside, maybe the sky or whatever. I didn't even think about it. So I get out on the four-wheeler and go down to the field. We're actually in the process of clearing land to extend the pasture for the horses and the goats and stuff and the cows. So I'm down there, and next thing you know, everything just went completely black. So I'm looking around. This was like in my real good eye that I have left. I still have vision in that left eye. So I'm sitting down and I'm really freaking out because I got nothing. So I call my grandmother on the walkie-talkie and I told her what was going on. She goes, what is going on? And I told her. She goes, well, nobody's here. And she says, the neighbors aren't around. I said, well, you need to find somebody. I was crying and freaking out and everything. She said, just relax. Everything's going to be all right. She said, so she called the woman next door that lived next to us on our property. And the lady says, well, I don't know how to run a backhoe. She said, well, if you tell me what to do, I'll give it a shot. I'll go down there and get him. So my grandma said, we're okay. So then her son came over. And then she sent her son over, so he came down with the backhoe, put the four-wheeler in the bucket, carried it back to the house. So then I went up to, had to go up to Philadelphia, the Wills Eye Hospital. And what we thought happened, and thank God it didn't, the retina detached. And then what happened was, so I was up there freaking out, and the woman was like, well, we might have to give you a shot, man, if you don't settle down up here, then send you to dreamland. I was like, well, I'm not losing my sight, man. I said, I enjoy what I do. I love the outdoors. She's like, relax, relax. So my brothers come up, and my uncles were up there. Everybody, my family came up, and so we talked. And so the doc comes in. They called him in from, I don't know where he was, but he was called in for the night. He comes, he looks. It's the mic, this telescope thing or whatever he's got, the scope that looks at your eyes. He says, well, sir, Mr. Burden, we got bad news and good news. He said, the bad news is it's going to take a couple days. But he said, but the good news is I'm going to give you a shot tonight of dye, and within 48 to 72 hours, you're going to be fine. He said, now you got to go home and promise me you're not climbing any trees, climbing on roofs, or riding that ATV. He said, that stuff has to be parked. And my grandmother said, that's what I want to hear. So I had my key in my pocket to my ATV, and she took it right in front of the doctor, and she's like, that a girl. So I gave it to her. So I go home, and I go to sleep, and this was on a Monday, and then by Friday afternoon, my eye was fine. We don't know what happened. It was just, it was freaky, but it was really scary. It frightened me, and that's when the commission, we decided that it's time for me to learn Braille, because maybe next time I may not be lucky.
How old were you then?
I was 8 years old. I was in third grade when it happened.
Wesley, it always is a pleasure for me to find, to see blind people that are involved in so many activities, because you have a lot of them that do a lot of do nothing. And so when you run across those who do multiple things, it's a pleasure.
Thanks so much. And that's why I come into these rooms, because I want to be around people. And I'm not like putting nobody down. Everybody has different walks of life, and they come from different backgrounds and different perspectives and socioeconomic backgrounds. And like me, I like to talk to people, and Charlie, even when we had the chat lines, like Conversation Station and all these other lines that Charlie and I used to be on, we talked sitting there for hours. But I enjoy coming in here. And every blind person I talk to, I try to give them encouragement. I'll just try to say, oh, this, I'll do this. No, because I tell them, I don't know where your background is. I would just encourage you to try to do something. There's stuff you can do. You can do anything you want. You might have to do it a little different. And I forgot to also tell you that I am my county is Salem County. So I'm a Salem County Community Emergency Response Team member. So if we get called out for tornadoes, or if we got to put bags up for, the rivers or the bay or whatever else, we can do that. We help evacuate special needs people. We have, and I think it's all over the country now, they have this thing that's called the Special Needs Registry. So anybody that's visually impaired, any type of disability, you call your county emergency management office and you can get put on their Special Needs Registry list. That way, if there's a hurricane, you're going to be the first to be notified. They're going to ask you, do you have any plan where you want to go? And they'll get you where you got to go.
Yeah, I'm sort of familiar with some of that. I've worked with the county and emergency services here in New York State with ham radio and Skywarn and stuff like that. But, well, you got the right attitude, Wesley. You know, if you have a chance to do something, get out and do it. If you have somebody that's willing to get you out, it's the best thing for you. I take every opportunity I can. And I do want to say that I was kind of disappointed when you didn't make it to the Watkins race last weekend, because I was really looking forward to meeting you. But it's great to have you on the site. You're a great value to their membership. So thank you for being interviewed this evening.
Well, I'll tell you, Terry, we're going to hook up. And I told John Harris, when I next time I get down to West Virginia, I'm going to connect up with him and Dina. And John could heckle me when I get down there and all the stuff that he does and mess with me. But no, maybe next year I'm going to get up to Watkins Glen, hang out with you and Nancy, and we'll maybe go out to dinner somewhere and get a bite to eat. And, you know, you guys can show us around the town, because you know it better than we do. And I'm looking forward to coming up there to see you guys. And Judy, too, if her and Jerry want to sneak on over and hang out with us, too, with the track, it'd be a lot of fun.
Of course, now you have to realize that Terry is our cross to bear, so.
Oh, I know, but I had to confess to him about the wood burning, because I know they have really cracked down on that.
Behave, Franklin. This is about Wesley, not Terry. Huh?
Are there any other people with questions?
Thanks a lot for agreeing to be interviewed, Wesley. It was really interesting.
Hey, not a problem. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my story, and just hope my story would be able to encourage someone. You just never know. Your story might be giving someone that's hope that you don't even know about. And you know, there might be somebody in here from time to time, whether it be the palace or my room in the morning, that might just need an uplifting and some encouragement. And you just never know what you say to them might be what they need to hear.
Tell you, Wesley, we appreciate you being here every morning, too. It's nice to know that you're here.
I'm very loyal. When I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Like, when I know when Angela said she was stepping down, I told Terry and John, I'll take the room over. Because I didn't want it to go away, Rod. I really enjoyed it. I look forward to coming in here every day, Monday through Saturday. I love being here with my friends.
Well, Wesley, I want to thank you for allowing me to interview you and share your story with us. Thanks, everyone, for coming in and participating. And it was wonderful. You all did ask questions. Have a wonderful week. And we'll do this again next month. So, thanks for joining us for Getting to Know You.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.